Alexa off. Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Does my hair look
okay? Yeah,
it's cute. Oh my god, we're back. It's like we never left bonding.
I know.
This is not the first time Maggie has done a podcast in my apartment.
True.
Okay, anyways. Hey guys, welcome to Tori's Stupid Podcast, episode 7. Technically 6, I fucked up with Jared. But I've been so excited to have Maggie on. Maggie is a fellow comic and dear friend. We met in the basement of Broadway Comedy Club in October 2021, I want to say.
Yeah, it sounds right.
So we've been besties ever since. And it's just really cool to see where we are now.
Very excited to be here. Proud of Tori and her own podcast. Very
so
exciting.
Sweet. Thank you. We're starting something. So. It's been fun, but I've been wanting to have you on because we're always together at Greenwich Comedy Club on Tuesdays. Yes. I mean, always together anyways, other times, but like, I'm always in tears around you. You say the funniest shit, and I'm always like, God, if only this was being recorded. So I've been really pumped to have you on because, I mean, I'm sure now that we're actually recording it, well, we're going to be like,
I'm gonna have no thoughts.
Yeah, we're just gonna stare into the void for 10 minutes. I do want to keep these short, so be funny in the next 30 minutes.
I'll work.
Oh, this is so stupid. That's your intro.
Okay.
Does that work for you?
Yeah,
fellow comic, Greenwich soldier, I'd say. We're in the trenches.
We are.
We worked at Broadway together as well. I'm not there anymore. You're not there anymore either.
No.
Yeah, we made it downtown to Greenwich. And we have our little family there, and we love it. So shout out Broadway, though. You know, still love Broadway, but we've just moved on.
If people booking there are listening, we love Broadway.
We love
Broadway.
Have us back anytime. So there's a new curtain there.
Yeah.
I want to see that curtain in real life.
True.
So, yeah. But,
we want to see what you got.
That's it.
Okay.
Okay, that's your intro.
I feel intro.
We just got pedicures. Fun little backstory as to what we were doing prior to this.
If you want to see that, subscribe to the Patreon.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'll make a Patreon and we'll put our toes on there. We were going to go to Bon Bon, this like viral TikTok candy store, and raid the candies, but the line was so crazy. So no Bon Bon for us.
And we've also heard they're bad. So yeah. To wait in line for something that's not going to be that good.
I just kind of wanted to double down.
Yeah.
Be like, yeah, it is trash.
We like to hate things.
Yeah, we do. We're a little bit of haters sometimes.
We are. But about it.
I was going to say, we make it funny.
Right.
I think you can say what you want as long as it's funny. That's like the rule to life.
And comedy. You can say the worst thing if it's funny.
If it's hilarious, say it. That's the one rule.
Yes.
But if it's not funny, you failed.
If you're being unfunny and also mean...
canceled.
Shut up.
That's when you get canceled.
You stink.
You boo. Boo. Yeah. No. Maggie and I are always trying to hold each other accountable to writing, and I'm going to be at Nick's Comedy Shop, and I'm bringing Maggie along with me as my feature. Julio Diaz gave us some intel on Nick's Comedy Stop last night that was kind of terrifying. He was like, yeah, it's a tough room, high stage, and they seat the people really far away from you, which in comedy is probably the worst combination of things you could have. And then I love Julio Diaz. I want to get him on the pod, but he was like, you know, that's the best way to start. You know, start with the hardest thing. And I'm like, no, Julio. That's the last thing I want to hear going into my first headlining gig. So.
Julio's also been on Netflix, so he can, like, look back and be like, oh, that's who I am. We're like, we haven't gotten anywhere.
We have not. We don't have credits yet, Julio.
This was our Netflix, so.
And now we're scared.
We're scared. And also, it's going to be my entire family is going to be in the audience, so.
Thank God.
True. It's like a family reunion of me just, like, standing above all. Being like, have you guys been to this mic club? Now here's some jokes.
It's so funny. So. I know, the way he explained the stage, I'm like, I'm picturing myself just sitting down and, like, dangling my legs and just being like, let's just be together. I don't know. I'm just glad that you have got family there. So we will have bodies.
Shout out
Maria. I know you'll be there. And Desiree, she's coming from Texas. That means a lot. I think Texas. I don't know if I made that up. Desiree messaged me if I got that wrong, but I'm really pumped. I love the way I've been connecting with everyone too with this podcast. So it means a lot that you've been listening. So thank you. Yeah.
Yay.
Hashtag flow state. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't. I told Maggie I have nothing prepared for this. So, what are your questions?
All right. This is now my podcast.
You're the interviewer now.
I too am stupid.
I did tell Maggie last night. Oh, yeah. That's a question I've been wanting to ask people. Okay. Can you tell me about a time when you were really stupid?
Oh. Can I tell you about... Okay. Okay. I feel stupid when I'm driving. Because I don't know the rules.
Well, you can't walk, guys. When I walk around the city with Maggie, she walks in, like, weird diagonal lines. She, like, bumps into my shoulder. I'm like, we're going that way. And she's, like, walking the complete opposite direction.
No, this is actually...
Every time we walk, we're never on the same page.
No, I have...
So you behind a wheel sounds terrifying.
Yeah, I don't know the rules of the road. Actually, when I got my license, the guy said to me, he, like, pulled me to the side of the road. And mind you, this is after he asked me to turn my blinker on and I turned my windshield wiper on.
Stop.
So, yes.
That's actually a classic mix-up.
It was, like, I was nervous.
That's really funny, though. I couldn't
turn it off.
That's really funny.
Yeah, so the windshield wipers are going, and he goes, I'm going to pass you.
Make sure you're talking to the
windshield. I'm going to pass you, but just so you know,
you can slide over, too. You look a little, there you go. Thanks. Sorry, guys.
Okay.
You're good now.
This is what I was told. He said, I'm going to pass you, but do not break any driving laws because you shouldn't have a license.
Stop.
That's what I was told.
How many points?
What do you mean?
Like when you get your driver's test.
I don't think they do that in Massachusetts. I've heard of
really?
That. But he didn't say to me like, oh, you got dinged for these things. He was okay. Just like.
Got it. Because I got zero. And that's like a brag that I get to say because that was a thing for us.
Okay.
Not to double down.
Okay. Do you know?
Sorry.
Yeah.
Wait, so you feel stupid every time you drive? Is that the blanket statement? Or do you have like a more to this stupidity?
Okay. Anytime I see a red arrow, I'm not fully sure what that means.
I think it means don't turn.
But see, when you're in the car with me. Because arrow means this way. So go.
So you see the arrow and your brain's like, that says go.
Yeah. And then the red is confusing, but just do a red light.
You know what?
Light.
I'm going to give you a pass here because every time I'm on an airplane,
mm-hmm.
when it has the seat belt.
Yes.
And it's the arrow, but it's green. I'm like, does that mean I can take it off? Or does that mean it should be in?
No, it's like with pregnancy arrows, tests. Be clearer. You know what I mean?
Yes, pregnant, no pregnant.
Yes.
Yeah. Or like elevator doors when they're closing. Like, you know when someone's like coming on and you have to make a very quick decision of like, do I open this for them?
Yes.
A, do I open for this for them? B, which button?
Right.
And it's the arrows. And I don't know if the you know, have you ever experienced that with elevator doors?
Where I couldn't tell.
I don't know which one's open and closed.
No.
Really?
Oh. I would tell people that if I didn't want to share an elevator.
See, I'm dyslexic, so I'm like, I don't know which one. Usually when I get on an elevator, though, the trick is to stand in the back. So if you do make eye contact with someone coming on, you're like, sorry, so far.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, you just reach.
you have little T-Rex arms. Ah!
Yeah.
Can possibly do it.
Okay, well, driving's not the worst.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people probably struggle with driving. Most women.
And I
just kidding.
No, I feel bad. Sorry, because in some states, women aren't allowed to drive and I'm not helping, but I don't.
That's not true.
No, well, countries.
Okay, thank you. You said states. I'm like, oh, I think in Alabama, they can do it. I'm pretty sure they fixed that.
Can't do it while pregnant. No,
no driving while pregnant.
You need to stay at home.
It's funny. I recently heard someone call being pregnant like a sickness.
Yes.
And I'm like, you actually are handicapped.
That's how I feel.
Like you apply for a handicap when you work to get disability. Oh, you apply for disability.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny that being pregnant is a disability.
It's a disability. It's also a mental illness. Like it affects your brain.
It sounds terrible.
No.
I may have a lot of jokes about pregnancy, but it's not jokes. It's really my concerns. I don't know how people do it.
Yeah.
God bless anyone that does. My sister's doing it right now. I never thought she'd do it. We used to joke. When we were young, she'd be like, I'm never having kids because they're just going to die in a cloud of smog. And I thought that was the funniest thing she's ever said. We'd laugh about it all the time. I'd be like, ha, remember what you said about the cloud of smog? And now she's pregnant. 20 years later. We were young, though, so she's not wrong about the smog. If anything, she was really nailing it. I think we were reading, like, The Lorax or something.
That's
you know?
Funny. I feel like in the way that, like, some people quote Shakespeare, you quote The Lorax. Like,
I do.
Love
I speak
the
for
Lorax.
The trees. I love The Lorax. It's so relatable.
True.
It's kind of like the giving tree. It's like it's not. It's like it's too late when it's too late, but you don't realize when it is too late. That's how I feel like when I gain weight. Like, my pants just suddenly don't fit. And I'm like, I've ruined it all. I've really done it again. Like, God damn it.
You need, like, a Lorax on your shoulder when you're going to eat. Being like, no. I speak for the pants.
That's good. And my mental sanity. Maggie and I really bond over our body issues.
We do.
Some real shit. Maggie's really funny jokes, though. But then she's like, the audience hates them. I'm like, no, I just think you're not saying them from your chest. You're like, I'm sorry I'm saying this because I really hate myself.
Yeah.
And I hate myself more now for these jokes. And what's happening?
Here's the funny thing about comedy is if you can take a vulnerable thing and make it funny, it's amazing. But if you take a vulnerable thing and it bombs, now you've just said something embarrassing. And everyone looked at you and said, we hated that you did that.
That's so true.
It's the worst, but it's also the best.
It is funny to watch you tell some of your jokes because I can tell you're like, because you also set them up sometimes where you're like, okay, guys, I'm going to say something. And they're like waiting for you to like shoot them. Like, you're like, is this girl going to take a gun out? Because you're like, okay, guys, be cool about this, all right? Like, you're going to expose yourself.
It's like, I'm going to expose myself. And then the joke will be like, one time I had sex. Are you guys okay?
You're like, isn't that disgusting? You're like, I know, I'm really ashamed.
Are we embarrassed? It's okay. There's counselors in the corner.
Yeah, it is crazy. Comedy really gives you like this weird thick skin. I say crazier things now in regular situations that I'm like, sure. Or like I'll just send like crazy DMs and stuff where I'm like, you're not on a stage right now. Like,
right.
You can't just DM someone these things.
Yeah. Well, it's like we're so used to getting reactions that you have to like find moments in life. Which my parents used to say I would do that as a kid. They'd be like, you see the line and intentionally go past it just to see what'll happen.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you have an example of that when you were a kid? Oh, you have so many funny stories from when you were a kid. What's the one you told? Oh, the message in a bottle one was really funny.
Oh, yeah. This is so separate, but... I'm from Massachusetts.
This is a funny fucking story.
And we go to the Cape, and my mom and I found a message in a bottle, and it was just like nice bonding moment. We're like, oh my God, like who's trying to talk to us? We crack it open, like unroll it, and the message just goes, you're an idiot. So
so fun. Did you keep it?
Yeah, of course.
Do you still have it?
I don't know. My mom saved it somewhere. Okay. If my mom could define her humor, it would be calling other people stupid. Like, she loves
it. Really? Oh, my God. She's going to love this podcast.
She called her, I don't know if any, like, the video, have you ever seen the video of, it's like a dad picking up his daughter from school in the winter, and all these kids are slipping on ice, and it's like a 10-minute video of the dad and the daughter just laughing their ass off and people falling.
Yes.
That's my mom's humor. That's so funny. She loves that video.
That's so good. That's a classic video.
It is.
It is pretty good.
Oh, for sure. As is calling a stranger an idiot in a message in a bottle. Amazing.
I gotta make some of those. Did you grow up in the YouTube era? I feel like I try to talk to you about YouTube videos and you're like, I don't get it.
I was not a YouTube. Like, I know, like, the.
I think, well, you're 3 years younger than me, and I think I was on the cusp of it, but, like, there was.
Like, did you like Jenna Marbles?
Yes.
When I think of YouTube, I think of Jenna Marbles.
Jenna Marbles.
Like, How to Be Hot.
How to Be Hot is, like, my sense of humor.
Yeah.
She was, like, one of the first comedians I've ever, like, seen. And How to Be Hot, I think I watched, like, 40 times.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And I still think in the way she would say some of those things, like, tricking people into thinking you're good looking. Yeah. You know, that's how she said that shit. And she'd be like, step one. And then she's, like, crying over my college degrees. I could literally recite that whole video.
Yeah.
But for me, it was her... Bon Kwee Kwee.
Sure.
Angela Johnson.
Classic.
So you know Bon Kwee Kwee.
Yes.
Thank God. And then there's these videos, Muffins and Shoes.
Yes. I know all four of those.
Oh.
Okay, you act like you're like scouring the internet. And,
long as you know the classics.
I know the classics.
Okay, because I just love anyone that could, if you hear Muffins, Shoes, in that order.
I know both of those.
Like, it's like you should be able to go blood. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's just anyone our age should understand these things.
Agree. Yeah.
So thank you. I'm glad we have that because that is important to me.
Is the guy who did Muffins the same guy who does an impression of a mom cleaning a house when there's guests?
So funny you say that because I know exactly that video, and they do look similar.
Right.
We have to do some research, I think.
That video is so funny.
It's a great video.
Where he's like, it can't look like we said.
Can't look like anybody lives here. It's so true. Growing up, your mom would just lose her shit when you got company. And I do that, honestly, like, I get it. The older I get, the more I understand those things.
Yes.
Like, when I have company come over, it's like, suddenly my apartment is disgusting.
Well, I used to make fun of my mom. I would be like, you clean before the cleaning lady gets here.
Yes.
And then I was like, you moron, what a waste of money. And now I would do that.
100%. Well, yeah, because it's, I mean, it's... You have got shit everywhere. Yeah, and they're cleaning.
They're cleaning.
But I remember growing up, I hate even saying, we had people come clean sometimes. Same. I guess that's like a normal thing. Whatever. I feel like I sound bratty. But anyway, she'd be like, clean your room before the cleaning ladies come. I'd be like, what are we doing, mom?
Yeah, exactly.
And she's like, well, you got shit everywhere. That's not their job.
No.
Get the vacuum and get your shit out of the way. I don't know. Cleaning. I've had some cleaning people in New York, like back when I had roommates, we'd be like, all right, guys, let's like put our pennies together and like let's get a cleaning person, because exactly, it's such a bitch when one person does all the work.
Yeah.
But sometimes, like, you go on the internet and people just show up with like a Windex bottle and you're like, oh, this isn't what I wanted.
No way.
But then you can't really be like, sorry, no. So we've had people, I've had cleaners come through just like literally holding a roll of paper towels and a Windex bottle. And I'm just like, honestly, good luck. Like, literally, I'm not kidding.
You're like, check out our bathroom.
And then I'm just like, I'll be over here. And like 4 hours later, I like check out the place and it's like spotless. I'm like, what wizardry did you just pull off to use Windex and a paper towel?
Dang. Yeah, they got good reviews.
Yeah, I don't recommend it though. Just clean your fucking shit. Even though sometimes it is hard. Do you and Megan ever do that? Do you ever get a cleaning person?
We have talked about it and then we've never done it.
Do you split the cleaning pretty evenly?
Yeah, we actually do. I feel like it's like neither one of us are super clean, but I wouldn't say either one of us are gross.
Okay.
So like we'll both just like go in waves where we'll like, while the other one's gone, like clean the apartment, then you come back and it's nice.
Okay. Yeah. I like cleaning when I'm hungover.
That's not what I thought you were going to say.
Yeah, sorry. I whenever I'm anxious and like I'm like, okay, if I clean my apartment, it'll undo any of the bad I did last night.
That's interesting.
It's when like my trick.
Over, I like to lie in bed and wish I was dead. So.
Well, it's when I'm like, maybe I'm still drunk or just like, it's like a wave of anxiety. And I'm like,
that's how if you spend your bonus land? That's
a great reference. Original. Yeah. Well, bonus land is a Urban Dictionary term. When you wake up still drunk from the night before and I have a tattoo on my hand. And you're still in this fun euphoric state. But you can do anything with it.
You can insert cleaning. Get out the Windex. I'm going to clean.
And then an hour later, you crash and you got in a clean apartment and you're like, you wake up from a nap and you're like, my life is pretty on lock.
Yeah.
I'm doing okay.
I used to go to the gym when I would be really hungover or really when you wake up still drunk.
Okay.
Because then you like think you have all this energy. You think.
Right.
In the beginning, you think you're like, oh, I just didn't get a hangover this time. Eventually, you've seen that episode too many times and you're like, oh, I know it's coming.
Yeah.
But you can enjoy it in the beginning.
That's true. I know. All the runs I used to do so hungover.
Oh, my God.
All the working out. As I get older, I'm like, this is just not it.
No.
I just know too much. I got this Whoop now. It's a fitness tracker. I'm like, it literally says I die in my sleep if I drink, which is so annoying. Every time I drink, I'm like, well, here goes my Whoop score. I'm being graded as an adult by this fucking band on my wrist.
I tried to make that joke work about how I'm such a people pleaser. I feel disappointed. I feel guilty if I disappoint my Apple Watch. Hilarious. No one has ever laughed. But I do think that's true. Eventually you get a fitness thing and you feel like held accountable to it.
Right? You do.
Right?
You really do.
Yeah.
Like it does stop me from drinking. Like I have a bottle of wine on the counter. Part of me was like, oh, I gotta have a glass of wine. And I was like, no, your sleep will get ruined and then you won't make it to your little track workout that you signed up for. And then your life will be ruined.
If it helps, I had the same thought, which is also because Tori and I spent like the same year not drinking.
Yeah, I started first.
True.
And then Maggie jumped in a month later and we really bonded over it.
Yeah.
It really helped. But honestly, and I started drinking again and then Maggie kept her sobriety for like, 2 months? Yeah. And I remember being like, fuck. Like, I would get too drunk, and then I would think about, I was like, oh, like, Maggie's still so, you inspired me. It was like a reverse, like, it's like, I started it, and then I was like, oh, I should go back, and I think we're doing well. I do think, I guess I should speak for myself, but I definitely was more of a shut-in my sobriety, and I hate even saying that, because it was honestly one of the best things I've ever done for myself, but at the same time, my social life was I mean, I still had one, but it was mostly just stand up and then coming home. And I don't know, I would spend a lot of time just kind of like, I don't want to say hiding, but it was easier just to be like, I'm going to go home.
Yeah. I think it's like, I know people are going to be like, you shouldn't have to bond with people. You shouldn't need alcohol to bond with people. But I do think nights out and being silly and kind of making, like, not bad decisions, but decisions you might not necessarily make totally sober, it does bond you to people, and it's fun.
It does. Like, you, me, and Kitty went out. Yeah. And, again, the three of us, Kitty also was sober for a year. And it was fun just to, like, let it rip. But then what's really funny is that Kitty lost her phone in an Uber. And then Maggie got really drunk and made her own choices that she regretted the next day. Again, you can speak for yourself, but it's funny. And I was definitely a little anxious. I'm trying to think of, like, the bad thing I did that night. I don't think I did anything, but I remember just being like, I didn't need to drink that much.
Yeah.
And I think I don't really remember my set because we did a show, but I don't remember every joke I told. And it's interesting. I drank a little bit in Portland this past weekend. I was there for shows at Helium with Troy. And I remember my one set on Saturday night, my first show, I was like, I just destroyed, guys. I watched my tape back last night and, like, I did well, but it was sloppy. And there were moments where I'm, like, holding my computer screen, like, speak. Like, I right. could tell I was a little slower. And I'm really happy I was forced to watch that. A lot of times I'll do sets and I will just never look back because I hate watching my shit
it's
back.
It's the worst.
But it was an important reminder to be like, okay, drinking really doesn't help.
Yeah.
Yes, I was loose and having fun, but I was a little slower. And it's, like, kind of crazy to watch that in real time and be like, okay, alcohol literally, like, shuts your brain down and you make dumb choices.
No, because the night the three of us getting drunk, on the one hand, I think it helped me get on stage because it was a huge room. Like, and I kind of wasn't planning on doing the show. And I think had I not been a little drunk, I would have.
You crushed.
Well, but
I was drunk, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, maybe we'd watch it back and be
that
like.
That was hilarious. People were laughing. That's usually what I tell myself. I'm like, well, they were laughing.
They were laughing.
They were drunk too.
Were they laughing at me? Who's to say?
Everyone in the room was drunk.
It was a winery, so odds are pretty high they were drunk.
That's why you drink at comedy clubs.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I don't know if comedy would exist without alcohol.
No.
Is that a crazy take? That's a crazy take. I take that back. But, like, comedy clubs run on alcohol in many ways.
And even though half the comics are sober, they had to get in the headspace to do comedy by being an addict to alcohol. So in a lot of ways, whether you're obsessed with it or you're avoiding it, comedy is fueled by alcohol.
In one way or another.
Someone's going to be mad about that.
Comedy and alcohol run in the same vein. We can leave it at that. And you can't argue with that.
Agreed.
Yeah. I'm trying to, like, compare other things that are like that. The dining industry, I guess. But
yeah.
I don't know. You can still enjoy a nice meal without alcohol. But it definitely adds, like, wine pairings and shit. That's some real fancy shit.
Well, I also think, like, because I used to compare, and I think it's more so when you're newer, but, like, I used to compare comedy to slots because I'd be like, I'd get up on stage and I'm like, I have no idea how this set's going to go. And then I think you do it longer and you get more able to tell if it's going to be a good set or not. But I think for some people, drinking is a little bit like that. You're like, we'll see how this night goes. Yeah. It could be really fun or really bad.
That used to be me in college. Yeah, usually if I ever said I don't want to drink too much tonight, that's the night I...
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, and, like, if there was a night where I'm like, I'm going to, you know, kind of, like, cut loose. Like, I would be, like, sober by the end of the night being like, yeah, I'm kind of over this.
Yeah. It's a mentality thing.
It is.
It's, like, the same thing of, like, not shaving your legs if you're going to go on a date because you don't want to hook up with someone, and then that's always the night you hook up
with
someone.
That's so funny.
You know?
Yeah. That's a good comparison. It's been so long since I've, like, had to, like, make an effort for a date.
Sorry. Who cares?
Yeah, I don't know why I just did that. I don't know why I just said that. I'm fine.
Looks dead into the camera. I'm fine.
I'm fine. Oh, dating is so hard.
True. True.
But one day. I don't know. I'm not even that worried about it. I just said it like I was worried. I'm not worried.
No.
Being alone's pretty cool, actually.
You also have a very full life.
Thanks.
No, I'm serious.
You're like, she's going down. Bring her up.
No, you're so happy. Remember your Stanley? Come on.
Yeah, I got a Stanley. Let me show everyone. And for anyone listening, I bought a Stanley cup.
It's beautiful.
Look at this. I don't know. It took me seeing this on TikTok for an entire year to finally be like, you know what? I want that. I was at Whole Foods in Annapolis, and I walked by this beautiful blue Stanley, and I just locked eyes, and I was like, I need that. And truly, this is really all I need in my life.
Yeah.
I don't need a boyfriend. I got Stanley.
Would a boyfriend keep you hydrated? No.
No. No, honestly, that's the bare minimum with dating is like, offer me a water.
Yeah.
And honestly, the amount of times I've not been offered a water.
Yeah.
Like, that's my bar. Like, offer me a water.
No, it's true.
And it's rare.
Agreed. My...
if you're a man, listen to this, offer her a water. It literally is so little, but it really, it's like, oh, wow.
No, it is crazy.
Oh, wow.
How, like, tiny acts of kindness when you've just been treated like trash or like,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's really, I mean, I've also had men make me dinners, but not offer me a water.
That's kind
of
crazy.
Yeah. I just think people forget about, like, the small act of being like, yeah. Hey, can I get you a water? Especially before going to bed, you're like, especially if you're like drinking, you're like, that's literally all I need.
Yeah.
But if I wake up without water next to me, I will have a panic attack.
Would you leave someone's apartment just so you could get a water?
Like fully like get in a car and leave? Yeah. I'd probably go to the sink and get a water first.
Yeah.
Unless I was mad, then I'd be like, you know what? I'm out of here. I'm going to go buy myself a Fiji bottle because I'm an independent woman.
Well, I'm just wondering if I deserve that's like, the best. Yeah. If, I'm wondering if that's a tactic. If you don't water, offer her water,
she'll oh, she, they're trying to get rid of me?
Yeah. Not you.
I see what you're saying, Maggie. Whatever. I already had someone call me self, like, not self-aware. So
yeah.
If you tell me these things, it's going to get in my head more. I guess every man's just been icing me out.
He's like, this bitch is thirsty.
Get her out. Well, that's like in that movie, How to Be Single, where he's like, I don't even have a faucet that works.
Oh, yeah.
You know that
yeah,
scene?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the best movie.
And then he's like, I don't even have cups. And she like finds the shaving cap lid.
Yeah.
That's a great movie. It is. I watched that movie before I moved to New York and I like, cried because I was like so excited.
Really?
Well, because you know when it's like, welcome to New York. Yeah. And it like, shows the scene of New York. I was like, I literally cried.
That's sweet.
I was so pumped.
I watched the show Girls and that got me excited to move to New York. But in the way that everybody was like shitting on those people, saying like they're like so self-absorbed and narcissistic, I was like, I can't wait to be them. Like, I thought that aspirational.
Oh, I didn't know they got that rep.
Oh, yeah.
I know people kind of hate on Lena Dunham.
I think that's the best show.
She kind of disappeared.
She did.
Yeah.
But rewatch Girls. It'll hold up every time. I love that show.
Okay. I need a show to watch.
The best show. The best line of all time. Okay. I'm not going to quote
other
pop culture on the podcast. But
quote it. Quote it. Quote it.
Marnie schedules everyone. This is like the pilot episode. Schedules everybody to... go with Jessa while she gets an abortion and Jessa doesn't show up and Marnie's so pissed, like fuming, and Hannah looks at her and goes, Marnie, come on, you planned a really nice abortion. And it's my favorite line of television.
Wow.
Because it just sets up the show so well. Like, that is all of those characters, like Marnie being like kind of mad, making it about her, Hannah not realizing the point, Jessa not showing up, and then Shosha's just like eating frozen yogurt vibrating. It's the best show.
That's so funny. If you had to pick a favorite quote of yours, what would it be?
Like, quote for life?
Yeah, just a quote. Like, if you had to get a quote tattooed to your arm, what quote would you get?
That's an amazing question.
Thank you so much.
We'll cut this long pause.
No, we're going to leave it in.
It's going to seem like really
Maggie's off the cuff. Thinking. Doo-doo-doo-doo.
I feel like it's like that SpongeBob thing of like 10 hours.
Yeah.
Why is something...
Because you're not like me with the whole self-help garbage.
No,
I could literally rack off 10 right now, which is what unhealthy for me. But I like that you have to really think about it.
Yeah.
If you have if that's your favorite movie quote, I'm excited for this.
Right, I know. See, unfortunately, I think the quotes that speak to me are a lot of times sad.
The Taylor Swift lyrics?
Yeah. You know, okay. You want to know what my favorite Taylor Swift lyric is?
No, I asked you your favorite quote.
That's a quote.
Fine, here, let's hear it.
It's... Now I have to like sing the song in my head. Just give me 1 second.
Just sing it out loud.
Because there were pages... There's pages turned with the bridges burned. Everything you lose is a step you take. And it's the idea of sacrifices as you like move closer to the life that you want.
Beautiful.
And I think about that a lot.
It's comedy.
Yeah, for sure.
That's all. I like that. Can you say that one more time?
There are pages turned with the bridges burned. Everything you lose is a step you take.
Cool.
Yeah.
But do you burn bridges?
Hell yeah, I do.
Okay. Shit. No, actually, don't cross Maggie.
No, I aspire to be a vengeful bitch. Like, I would love to, like
10 You want years. To be like, I'm sorry, the old Maggie's dead.
Okay. But I would do it in a very cool way.
Oh, okay.
Where it's like, where it's like she will ruin someone's life like 10 years after they wronged her.
Mm-hmm.
And
like Diplo or something, or who like?
Like Kanye.
Oh, right, right, right.
Ron. She's okay. A lot of enemies. And I'll think about something and stew on it for, like, I love to hold a grudge, but will I do anything about it? Probably not.
Have you ever acted on a grudge? Or acted on a...
Not in a way that I'm like, that was good. You know what I mean? I didn't like... I've heard of people, like, they, like, signed their... So if, like, someone cheated on them, they, like, signed them up for the army or something mm-hmm. like that. Like, that to me is something I aspire to do.
You want someone to die?
Emotionally.
That's funny. All right. That's a good answer.
Thank you.
I don't know why. My quote?
Yeah.
Well, you know my saying.
Yeah.
Nothing matters. No one knows what they're doing and we're all going to die. That's my favorite saying.
Mm-hmm.
Followed by everything's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Those are my two. Those are my two like life mantras. Like if I was an action, if I was an action figure that has like kind of like a Woody doll in Toy Story
mm-hmm.
where you pull the string and they say like things.
Yeah.
It would be those two things.
I agree.
And then something like, let's have some fun. Because I feel like that's kind of wraps who my character up.
Yeah. Well, because I didn't want to say this because I feel like this is more, it like is too close to that. But I think we both believe in the idea of just do it because it's like, I feel like we're both very, like run into like uncomfortable situations and put ourselves in situations that like make us nervous, you know?
Right.
And I think I'm like a naturally very nervous person. But I've, like, never not done something because of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I love that. It's so funny you say that because I asked Jared Schwartz. I got to stop bringing this episode up. But I asked him at the
it
end of...
It was a great one.
Great episode, you guys. At the end of the episode, I said to him, I said, all right, do you want to leave the audience with anything? Do you have a quote?
Uh-huh.
And he goes, yeah, just do it. And I was like, okay, Nike. And he's like, no, like, seriously, like, just do it anyways. Like, if you're scared, do it. Like, if you don't think you're ready, do it. Like, just go for it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's cool. Especially with stand-up where it's like... It's like I'm running my 45 to an hour and you're running your first 20. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I'm scared. We're told the venue kind of is not ideal. And, you know, I'm like, yeah, we're just going to do it. Like,
right. Same
with comedy. Every time you get on stage, you've been getting in your head, but you just get up there and you're like, all right, like, let's just get through this and see what happens and let's have some fun. And you've grown a lot. I've seen you transform. Truly, it's been really cool to see Maggie. One of my favorite stories about Maggie is, again, my favorite saying we were just talking about is nothing. I say it all the time, nothing matters. And Maggie got in her head one day about something. I don't know if it was a set or something was bothering you.
I think it was like one of my early sets at Broadway.
Yeah.
And I was terrified.
Yeah. Yeah. And I could just tell she's in her head. And I said, Maggie, don't worry. Just go out there and just remember, like, nothing matters. And she just goes, it matters to me, which is one of my favorite Maggie quotes of all time.
Yeah.
And now that's one of our inside jokes. We say it all the time.
Yeah.
And sometimes I will remind myself, I'm like, well, it matters to me. Like, it's true. Like, some things do matter, obviously.
I think it's like an important yin and yang. Like, you can't put too much pressure on everything, but you're also allowed to, like, take things seriously. Like, be excited about things and like take them seriously and sort of like mark them as milestones.
Yeah. Yeah. But I love that story. That's very us.
Yeah.
But again, you've actually come a long way and I think you have adopted more of the nothing matters mentality and you roll with the punches more and you've taken some hits. I've watched them as have I, but you weren't there for some of mine where I've watched a lot of yours and, you know, you'll walk away and cry and then you get your shit together. Like, do you want to tell your story about what happened to you recently with your face?
Yes.
And then we could wrap it up with what happened. Because I was like, Maggie, come on, let's just still hang out and I will let you tell the story. But that was a moment in time where I was like, that's my Maggie. That's the Maggie that I have seen come to life.
Yes. So tell me.
Well, do you want to share all of it? The boyfriend part?
Well, I feel like that explains why I was running.
We can keep it.
I'll keep it general.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
I was
Maggie has a boyfriend. Sorry to out you. I can edit this out if you want me to.
No, it's okay. Well, we'll see how the story goes. And if someone wants to DM me, JK.
She's,
that's a joke.
She's situationally single.
Yeah.
If you're a 10.
Listen. No, so I was meeting my boyfriend's, some like family members of his.
Some as in all.
100.
The entire family.
100 people.
Literally?
Literally, I met
100
people.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And so, and I've never had a boyfriend because you can tell me why.
Why do you have to say because? It's so weird. Just life.
Well, yeah, I don't know.
I've never had a boyfriend. because of, yeah, let's get into your past.
Yeah. Because who knows? I'm perfect. And so I went for a run.
You were nervous. Like, Maggie was in her head all week. Like, all week throughout the week, she'd be like, oh, God, I'm so fucked. I would, like, watch, like, pace around the green room of Greenwich. Yes. Like, why am I doing this?
I would text Tori and be like, if I wear cargo pants, are they going to think I'm a lesbian? Like, I was really
She was unwell.
And so I was going to go for a run because I've tried to grow as a person and be like, you can't drink your feelings. Let's go for a run. And I am... Also, by the way, I'm like 3 blocks from my apartment and I'm racing back because I am going to be late for a meeting. And I just dip it on a curb. Like, if you saw this curb, it was barely a sidewalk. It was just a little pebble.
I want to show them the photo of my edit. I'm going to edit the photo into the video.
Okay. And
if you're listening, I promise it's worth it to look at the video. It's so funny.
Go to YouTube. That's
a plug. DM me. I'll send you the photo.
and I just cut up my face so bad. Like
her face caught the fall.
Yeah.
Her chin.
I look like a burn victim, honestly. And I had plans with Tori. We're going to go to a show in Brooklyn. And I just call her crying, obviously, because I'm like, oh,
well, it's so funny. At first, you just texted me. You said, you're never going to believe what just happened. And mm-hmm. I'm, like, waiting for something fun, like, exciting. I honestly just didn't know.
Yeah.
And the next text is a photo of her bloody chin. And I remember just grabbing my mouth and being like, holy shit. And at first, I was like, okay, like, I laughed because there's no other release. It was, like, a tension release where I was like, holy fuck. And then you were texting with me, and I was like, okay, is she okay? And then that's when you called me. You FaceTimed me, and it was just waterworks. So fair.
It was like, because it ended up being a good thing because then I was like, well,
what's the worst that could happen?
Yeah. You know what I mean? And it became like a conversation starter, but I had told my boyfriend about it and he didn't tell his family because he thought I was going to be embarrassed. And so he just didn't bring it up to them. So for the first 12 hours of the trip, everyone's kind of looking at me. And then eventually his mom just breaks the ice and is like, so did you fall? And I was like, yeah, he didn't tell you. And she was like, we didn't know if it was like a skin. You're still pretty, but
we thought
it was like a mole or something.
Shut up.
Yeah. So then I had to be like, every time I met a new family member, which
I fell.
Remind you, 100 times.
Hi, I'm Maggie. I fell not. Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah. And then I was like afraid that they would all think I was like drunk or something like that. And I was like, no, I just am uncoordinated.
So. That is so funny. But it ended up being a great trip.
It was.
And it feels like that never even happened. Like, when something is so big, it's like, it's nice to have enough of those moments in life where you're like,
yes,
okay, I've been through something like this before. I was completely fine and I'm going to make it through another thing again.
Yeah. So
that's just a notch on your belt of what you're capable of dealing with.
Right. Exactly.
Maggie is stronger than ever.
True.
It's like your Popeye's spinach.
No,
enough times eating shit, you'll be just fine.
And that it really is. I think that's like life is just being like, this is not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
And nothing matters.
Nothing. Even sometimes when it matters to you. But again, so Maggie was, again, my perspective on this was I saw Maggie sobbing in bed. Selfishly, I was like, come on. Like, you don't want to cry in bed all night. Like, we had the show. We had dinner plans. Or we didn't have dinner plans. We were just going to go to the show.
Yeah.
And so I said, Maggie, why don't we grab a drink? Why don't we have some dinner? Let's go to our favorite place, Dudley's. And you're like, I'll think about it.
Yeah.
And like, 15 minutes goes by and you're like, let's do it. And I was like, fuck yeah. And not only that, you came out, you just had a great spirit about you. We had fun until we didn't. The show was whatever.
Yeah.
But I had so much fun with you. And I think it was so healthy to not sit at home and ruminate on what had just happened and what was in your trip the next day. So.
Well, it really did. It was kind of like the thing that burst the bubble where I'm like, the small stuff is not going to matter at the end of the day. Like when I meet like his like grandma or something like that, she's not going to care. Like I was going to get my eyebrows threaded before and it's like, I could have a unibrow.
Yeah, you were going to get a spray tan. Literally. Eyebrows. And then,
which was a weird reflect on why. I care if his grandmother thinks I'm pretty, but...
I remember you were, like, worried about that. You're like, what if they think I'm ugly? I was like, your chin does not change that, and you're gorgeous. So, like, that's neither here nor there. It was... it's, like, suddenly, like, a cloak over your whole body.
Yeah, exactly.
This is my ugly cloak. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, but...
And you had fun, and look at you now.
Look at me now. And he didn't break up with me.
Still have a boyfriend, yeah.
Still do.
Still have a boyfriend. It's crazy.
So.
Oh, I'm happy for you.
Thanks. But you know what?
What?
I don't know what I was going to say.
You're like, and you don't, bitch.
It'll happen. And you know what?
It's great.
You'll love it one day.
Yeah, I honestly, a lot of times recently in my relationships, I get like a month or two in and I'm like, I'm trapped. Yeah. Again, that's just the wrong person, I think, but I feel like I'm in a bird in a cage.
Yeah.
That's a really unbad, it's a shitty feeling.
Oh my, there's nothing worse than when you want to get out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've had enough of those feelings where I think, oh, my battery just died on my, oh, it's dying. I guess we should call it soon.
Okay.
Looks like it's still recording. Let me just put a new battery in real quick.
I thought of a question, but then you can cut it out if you want.
Okay. Nervous.
No. What is the stupidest thing you've cried over?
Men.
True. You know what my answer is? The same man twice. Don't let a man make you cry twice.
Oh, they're the ones that if it's one, it's usually like multiple times.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Usually like it's one guy that really rocks me for a long time. Yes. Because usually if they're a blip on the radar, I move on quick. But if they've been around for a minute, like, I'm going to cry a few times. I'll never forget. This is one of my favorite stories dating-wise growing up. I was a senior, and I started dating a sophomore, so I thought I was, like, super cool because I felt, like, power trip. And, like, he was a cool sophomore. But I felt like you should be my, like, little minion.
Right, right.
And it gets so good. So he... then decides that he doesn't want to date me. And I was like, I'm sorry, what in what world are you living in?
Yeah.
And I will never forget it. I remember getting the text that said we should just be friends.
Jail.
I was home alone. My mom was on a business trip. And I remember, you know the scene in Mean Girls when Regina George just like runs through her house like screaming and like palming lamps and like she's like an absolute monster, just like yeah. That was me. I was just running around my house, just screaming bloody murder. Like, how dare! It wasn't even like sadness. It was
rage.
Extreme rage.
Yes.
And I like called my friend. And I was like, you will never believe what just happened.
Yeah.
And she showed up within 10 minutes with my favorite candy, peach rings. And just let me like be like, that little bitch for like an hour.
That's a good friend.
And then I moved on, and he did want to get back with me, and I started dating someone else, and I remember being like, that's right, bitch. But I'll never forget that feeling, being like, are you kidding me?
Oh, that's the worst. That's funny. As a friend, when your friend is sad over a guy that you think that they're so much better than, my friend in high school used to date this guy, and we used to call him we call him off the scale, because he was off the scale ugly, and he... He cheated on her, so I think that's fine.
That's fair. That's fair. That's hilarious.
And when we cheated on her, we all went to get Froyo together.
Cute.
And, like, just, like, let her be upset about it. So valid. But once, like, she was, like, appropriately over it, we'd be like, just so you know, in our group chat, he was off the scale. And you're on the scale. Never.
How did she handle that information?
She thought it was funny.
Okay, good. Because then she really can't get back together with him.
Yeah, no.
That's the worst when you're like, that guy was a fucking loser.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, 3 months later, they're like, so... me and John are back. And you're that's also,
yeah.
That stuff I said was just because you were mad.
That's the most high school thing to be like, just so you know, we all called your boyfriend ugly, because I would never do that now. What if they get married?
Yeah. I think a lot of people end up getting back together.
For sure. I think especially early on, it's almost never a clean break. Like breakup, like where they just barely. And never talk again.
Which I'm kind of the queen of clean breaks.
You are.
Which is maybe scary for me. It's really bad. I'll never forget. Like, yeah, I dated this one guy for like 8 months. We met in a bar. I ordered us 2 beers just to get it done. I got there early, got 2 beers, found a spot in a dark corner. And I said, hey, man, I'm out. He cried. And then I stayed. He's like, I'm going to go. I was like, yeah, see you later. And then I ordered another beer and waffle fries. And my friend came and we just sat and like just shot the shit for an hour.
That's amazing.
And then I felt bad. I was kind of a cop out because I said to him, I said, we should take a break. Because I didn't really want to fully break his heart, obviously. I do have some feelings. And then 2 weeks later, like on the day, he called me and was like, hey, like this is the 2 week break mark. And I was like,
you're like, I've actually loved her counterpart.
Yeah, let's extend forever.
I like to extend my contract of being single.
Yeah, about that break. Yeah, tough. And then, yeah, the last guy I dated, I think I make decisions after, like, really feeling the feeling for a while.
Yeah. I think, I mean, as when I've, over the course of me knowing you, I think sometimes I've been like, oh, that was like a quick decision. But I think it's come from like an internal compass that has been feeling that way for a while.
Thanks.
Yeah.
How many people have you seen me date?
Not that many, but I've seen like at least an interest.
Yeah. I love everybody. Like I love having a crush and I like pretend that I have a crush on everyone. But then when it comes down to like really having a crush, it's like nobody.
Meanwhile, once I like someone, give it 4 years and I'll be over it. I'll have closure.
You have Taylor Swift feelings.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. I need closure from like a simple greeting. Like I'm in forever. Until I'm not.
I think I got really burned by that one situation.
Yeah.
Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah. I think.
Where I was just so off put.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where I was like, I will never ever feel that. Or make someone feel bad about that.
Yeah.
So I'm like, if you're done, I'm done.
That's true.
That's the best lesson ever. If someone doesn't want to talk to you, say thank you for your time and live your best life. If you want to have me as a friend in your corner, I'd like to stay around.
Right.
But again, maybe I just haven't been hurt enough by them for me to like, I don't know. I think I'm a very forgiving person though.
I think you are too.
But I definitely hold a grudge to that person because he really made me feel so bad.
Yeah.
Avoidant. Yeah, I'm going to avoid you now.
Yeah.
Calling me avoidant. Yeah, I'll avoid this.
Or maybe you're only too avoidant to a person you don't want to be with. Have you ever thought of that?
But I was too nice to be like, yeah, to you.
Yeah.
I was like, you're right. I should probably go to therapy. I never said that. I think I just was like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about.
You're like, I have to leave.
Avoid what? Yeah, I'm going to go now. Anyways. You guys don't know what I'm talking about. Maybe I'll start a Patreon and it'll just be a tell-all podcast. No, sorry. That sounded like I'm some sort of major celebrity and someone would actually give a fuck. But you guys are listening, so you care. Thank you. I don't want to – by dragging myself, I'm really dragging you because you're listening. So that was rude.
Yeah.
I got to stop that. I'll be better. Okay, final remarks. Maggie.
What is your fandom called, The Idiots?
Stupid Crew.
Stupid Crew. I like that.
Thank you. What does that sound?
Not that I think anyone's an idiot, just because of the stupid podcast.
No, Stupid Crew. I like the name Stupid Crew.
Yeah.
You guys are the Stupid Crew. Sorry. If you're listening, you're a Stupid Crew. I'm going to make sure it's going to be fun. I'm with Stupid. That's some good shit.
Mm-hmm. And then you point up, so it's yourself.
That's why I keep